Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
At the club, Club 1080, the hottest spot north of Milwaukee. At the club, Club 1080, Souk and Rob's passion are always the fashion at the club. They fell in love.
International Auto Show, very international flair here.
What, the French are out in force?
It is at the Oregon Convention Center now through Sunday for you car enthusiasts. It's only $15 to get in, but if you bring a can or a bunch of cans, as many cans as you can, of non-perishable food items, Safeway will match that, each can, with a dollar donation to the Sunshine Division, and we can stop hunger just by looking at cars.
That's right. I am a car enthusiast. I just don't have the money to buy a lot of cars.
Well, maybe someday.
But if I, I've said multiple times, like, if I won, you know, always do the, what would you do if you won the lottery? I would be a, I would have a car
You'd
collection.
Be a car guy?
I would. I would have way too many cars, and then probably the missus would yell at me eventually for, like, I'd come home with another one, and then I would get chastised because I don't drive the other six.
Yeah. I wonder.
I'm jealous of car guy.
You know, there's a lot of people walking around here, you know, they're looking at cars and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, are these people that buy these cars, or are these people that just peruse? Are they like you?
A lot of these I come to this.
At this.
I'm at this. But, like, when we've done the shows in the past, I usually come either a day before or a day early, or a day before or a day later, and I like to peruse around. And I think a lot of these are potential car buyers, because here you do have some exotics.
Like, are you going to buy a car, sir?
You'll get some.
That's Big Souk, yeah. Yeah. Come shake his hand. Are you going to buy a car? You already have two. Would you like a third? I mean, are you here to buy a car? Yeah, I'm Isaac. Yes, we do a show together. It's amazing. We're in the same place. Yeah, good to see you. Are you going to buy a car? No? All right.
He's just here. He's here to take pictures.
There's my survey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's all you need.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Attaboy. All right. Hang loose, bro. Thanks for listening.
I think ones like this are more geared. Okay. Yeah, I know. There's a lot. I think shows like this are geared towards a lot. These cars are cars you can buy. Like the one I went to last weekend.
That's an auction.
That's an auction.
That's where the
rich it's an auction and a car show. And those are, you gotta.
Yeah,
be,
but those guys aren't at this.
No.
Event.
No, this is for your everyday,
yeah,
sort of, you know,
car enthusiast.
But yeah, you can
not see, rich guy.
Yeah.
I mean, they can come.
They can come. But yes,
other...
this is more geared towards almost everything you're going to find here is within a it's a reasonable price range. I mean, you got some exotics, but, you know, you can see a Toyota Corolla and you can see an Audi R8.
Or how much is that caddy over there?
Boy, that is a complete restoration. I'll bet you that thing would probably go for, let's go, $150.
Does it have a price on it?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just, this is an aftermarket company that can soup up whatever car you want. But that's like a frame-off restoration. The amount of man hours that go into something
it
like that.
It looks nice.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they take the frame off of it. Everything.
Pretty good little job.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. There are so much, there's so much money that goes into that.
So I've got a story of a Ugandan man. He's a villager.
Yeah.
And he is struggling to provide for his family.
I would say so. Look, kids are expensive. You know,
yeah.
I got three of them. You've got one. You know, kids.
It's not easy.
It can be a challenge, which is why you say don't have them.
This man has 12 wives, 102 children, and 578 grandchildren.
Yikes.
And
do you think, remember when we did was it Antonio Cromartie?
Yeah.
At 14, right? How many?
Something of that.
When you've got 102, how many can he name?
Well, apparently he doesn't remember most of their names.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
a problem.
That's a bit of a problem.
But yeah, I'm sure he has a favorite.
Yeah. Does he have a least favorite?
Sure he has one. It's like, wait, you're my kid?
102.
Yeah, he has 102 kids, and
so 12 wives. So he's, you know, it's less than 10 a wife.
Yeah, at this point, he feels enough is enough.
Enough. How old is he?
He's 68.
Oh my God! When was the last?
And his quote is: "At first, it was a joke, but now, it's a problem."
are there straight now? Look, I'm not trying to disparage land of anyone's, but I'm guessing that there's not a lot of strict child support payment laws in Uganda.
Well, no, it's a village.
Yeah, I'm guessing they've got bigger
fish. I feel like there are no laws.
Yeah, it's a bigger fish to fry.
And he says his health is failing, and he has 2 acres of land, and two of his wives have already left him because they couldn't afford the basics.
Yeah.
You know, like food.
Sure. Food, shelter, clothing.
Clothing.
Water, you know,
education.
Why would
and he is, this is another bit of the story, he's unemployed. So he's struggling a little bit.
How did he get 12 women to marry him and have 102 kids?
Yeah, I don't
with him?
Know. I think,
was
like
he
I said.
Was he a looker back in the day?
Anything goes.
Is he like Dennis Smith Jr.? Is he slanging?
In better news, well, I'm sure he is. In better news, he says his wives are now taking birth control. So 102 should be it.
Yeah. At no point at like 25, 30, 35, 40, 45. He's basically, you know,
right.
He's a touchdown run at this point. He's at the 20, the 30, the 40. You know, at some point, you think you get to midfield and maybe we.
You know, it's interesting. Like, if I said, how many kids could. Let's just say to this guy, hey, dude, how many kids could you have before you're like, whoa, that's a lot?
Enough's enough.
I don't think I would guess 102. I would say maybe 9, 10,
if you
12.
If you told me the man was from Uganda and he had multiple wives, I think a realistic number, I would have gone somewhere in the mid-40s. You know, it's, I'm like, you have multiple wives. You're saying, okay, it's a ridiculous number, right? It's why there's a story. I would have said like 48. Maybe I would have believed like a nice long punt, maybe a nice 59-yarder. But 102, that's a kickoff return. You shouldn't have kickoff returns for kids. It's a punt return at best. That's absurd.
So they polygamy is allowed.
Oh, okay. So they're into the whole Southern Utah thing.
Child marriage banned.
Oh, so at least all the wives are of age?
The youngest wife is 35.
Okay, so a little bit of a gap there.
But he has kids ranging in age from 10 to 50.
Wow.
And he says he can't even recall the names of some of his ladies. He has to talk to one of his sons.
Wait.
About that. Like, hey, what's your mom's name again?
Okay, well, that's a little insulting. I get not knowing.
Yeah, there's only 12 of them.
How do you not know 12 names? I mean, he gets a little confused from time to time, I'm sure, like what kid goes with what mom. But you don't know the ladies' names? This guy kind of sounds like a real jerk.
Well, interviewing the other villagers, they say he's actually a pretty good dad, and he's brought up the children that he knows very well.
Oh, okay. So he's a deadbeat dad on some cases, but
they say he's doing his best.
He's doing his best.
But at this point, 102 is too many.
Is that the most, like, is that high up, like,
Of all time?
Worldwide? I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's some sort of Saudi prince somewhere that's just, but, like, I gotta believe that that's gotta be fairly high. That's not a normal. This is gonna be like one of those, like, 1,000 years from now, like, every other person in Uganda is related to this guy in some shape or form.
Well, it says here on internet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's mother. Okay, the most children a mother has or a couple
birth,
the same two people,
yeah,
is 69.
Oh my God.
Yeah, in the 1700s.
A woman? No.
Yeah.
A woman in the 17 or 16? I forget.
1765.
Okay, so around the American Revolution.
She gave birth to 69 kids.
A woman, and by the way, I'm pretty sure back in the day, you died like every other time you gave birth.
Yeah. So there's a caveat. So she had 16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets. So the total number of births was 27.
What?
Yeah. And 67 of the 69 kids survived infancy.
So they had two.
They had two.
I find that.
How about that?
No offense to Tom Brady. You had the 12 amazing Tom Brady stats. That's more amazing than anything Tom Brady has ever done.
Oh, boy. Here's the father one. And this section lists men who have produced at least 25 or more children, usually with different women.
Sure.
Genghis Khan.
Yeah, that's...
Top of the list.
Yeah, there's always that...
Thousands.
Supposedly there is a... There's a number out there that, like, a certain percentage of people in Asia, and it's like a high number, it's like 1 in 4, is related to Genghis Khan.
Yeah, they say he's fathered over 1,000 children.
Now, I wonder, is that like Kim Jong-un saying that he had like 18 hole-in-ones? Do you think Genghis Khan?
No, I think...
You think that's what
he was the real deal.
He just... Yeah, that's how he did it.
That's what... He had the harem of women,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, 1,000 women.
Yeah.
Man, my man Genghis. Holy jeez.
Second on the list is Bertold Paul Weisner. He is a scientist who fathered up to 1,000 children by artificial insemination by donor.
Oh, isn't he the guy, though, that was lying about it? Isn't he the one that that got in trouble because he was working at a sperm bank, but he only used his sperm, and he didn't tell the women?
That I don't know. I don't know if that's the same guy.
There was one of those stories not too long
this
ago.
This guy's from the he was in the early 1900s.
Oh. There was sperm donors back then?
Well, mid-1900s, mid-50s.
I didn't know that was a thing back then. Was that just a case, like, back in the day, like, Lonely Housewives just came and this guy took care of it? I just know that there was a story not too long ago about a guy, he was running a sperm clinic, and he fathered all the kids. Like, he was using his sperm, and he didn't tell anyone. He ended up going to prison.
Yeah, I saw that story.
They made a documentary on it, didn't they? I thought they did.
I just remember reading about it, and I'm pretty sure the dude went to prison, because you're not allowed to do that. It's a bit of a no.
Yeah, this guy at 102, quite frankly, he's way down the list.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm scrolling.
Yeah. He's
not even top 50.
No, this guy's pathetic.
There's a lot of sultans and
kings. Yeah, it's like... Good.
How about this guy, Augustus II the Strong? God, he had 382 kids.
Augustus II the Strong.
Some guy named Simon Watson.
Yeah, Game of Thrones type of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
You had to have multiple women, because, again, I'm pretty sure back in the day, you just, like, dying during childbirth was like you, like, tying your shoes.
Right.
It just, you know, you imagine childbirth in the 1500s?
No.
Think about childbirth now. And now put it
Don't
back.
Want to.
Yeah, put it back in the day.
You like sports betting? I think you do.
I love sports betting.
What about weather betting? Is it becoming a thing?
I hope so.
It kind of is. I'll tell you about it next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Apologies.
And we're back.
Yeah, apologies.
Sorry, I had to go boil my hands. Well, can I?
No.
I need to talk about this.
He was a nice guy.
Look.
Just fist bump.
Let me just say something.
What's the matter with you?
We need handshake awareness around here.
What does that mean? Just don't shake a hand if you don't want to shake a hand.
This is my point, though. No.
The only thing you have to do is hold out a fist.
I have no.
People will follow your lead.
I have no problem with a handshake. I like a handshake. I like a good firm handshake. But here's the
thing. What are you griping about?
Handshake awareness. You need to be aware. You need to be aware if your hand is not shakeable.
What does that mean?
If your hand...
Sir, can you believe this?
Yes, I do believe this. If your hand is of a certain...
Actually, he said he cannot believe this. So.
If your hand is of a certain moisture and a certain, let's say, funkiness to it, you need to be aware that your hand is not in shaking condition. You can't offer up your hand when you've got a stink palm, okay? If your hand has basically been in some sort of swamp for the last 6 hours, you do not extend your hand. Because if I get a hand extended towards me, I am assuming that you have taken proper precautions and your hand is somewhat and dry. And I will go to
shake
the hand.
That's a bad assumption. That's a bad assumption.
Well, if someone... I am not rude. If someone offers me a hand to shake, I feel like I am obliged to shake.
This is all on you. Thank you.
No, it's
crazy
not.
Crazy eyes, McGinley. Yes, just put out your fist. You have to be proactive. You can't expect everyone to have clean hands. This is how germs spread. It's gross. So what you do is you put... You can't say, oh, that guy's got clean hands, this guy doesn't. I'm not shaking this guy. You don't know. So what you do is you put out your fist.
This is why I'm saying awareness. We talked about this like with body odor awareness. You need to be aware if you're the stinky guy. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to not be the stinky guy. And it's not that hard to have a hand that's shakeable.
Are you buying this, Ludwig?
All I know is...
Salesman Kurt
Ludwig. I got a point.
He says he's got a point.
I had to go boil. I really felt like, and you can't, and in the moment, I don't want to be rude, although I'm talking about it on the air. I'm not going to like immediately look at the guy and be like, ugh. I don't think I doubt he's listening. He's wandering around here. But the moment that hand touched mine, I immediately was like, what are we doing? Why are we? And now I have to sit there the entire segment with the stink can. And then immediately I go over and boil my hands. And I'm just thinking to myself, as I'm washing my hands, I was thinking, like, what an idiot. Why did I do that? But now I thought,
I agree.
No, I'm not an idiot. I was being a nice guy.
You're an idiot.
I was being a nice guy and was reciprocating the handshake.
You're on Sook's side?
Yes.
Why?
Reciprocating the handshake.
Oh, you're an idiot.
I'm just saying.
I'm surrounded by morons.
If we're going to live in a society of shared people, I think we need to have certain expectations. And I had the expectation that if you are going in, I didn't initiate that handshake.
I got to be honest with you.
He initiated it.
So you know I've become a little bit of a germaphobe.
Yes, you have.
Since, in my advanced age.
Yes. You have really, the last couple of years, you've really upped.
Yeah.
You're on a Howard Hughes trajectory.
It's not the COVID thing, but the COVID thing started it.
Yeah.
And it made me realize, it's like, I need to be better about not getting sick, right? Yeah. It's like there are easy ways. I just need to be better about the handshake.
Yeah, because you got really sick.
From COVID, yeah. So I stopped shaking hands. But if we do shake hands, like we have shaken many hands today, I am instantly to the hand sanny.
Yeah.
So, I mean, any handshake at all, and this is no offense to the other person.
Yeah.
Usually what I want to do is be proactive and fist bump first. But if I don't and somebody sticks out their hand, I'll shake it. But I'm going instantly, every time, to hand wash or the sanitizer. Yeah,
the sanitizer.
Yeah, every time.
Well,
I bring my own. My bag.
Well, I do not want to be Howard Hughes Jr. over here, nor do I want to live in a world where handshakes are not a thing. It's we are meant to share. We're meant to be part of a community.
That's right.
We're meant to be together.
Like Last of Us.
And I don't want to be the one that says, no, we're not handshaking. And all I'm asking is for common courtesy. If you initiate a handshake, I'll tell you right now, if I initiate a handshake with you, I can assure you that my hands are dry, they're not stinky, they're not gross, and they're ready for a handshake.
I don't think you can assure that.
I can assure it, because if my hands were gross, look, this bartender lady, she knows. She's picking up what I'm laying down right
now.
You
agree with them, too?
She's in the service industry. She knows.
Do you agree with them?
She knows.
What?
Exactly. And you know what? You know what
you'll
find?
It's going to be sweaty and gross.
You'll find a nice, clean hand if I extend it. And if my hand
is gross.
And he's
got little bird hands.
If my hands are gross, then you know what? I'm not initiating the handshake. I'm going in for a fist bump, maybe an elbow.
How do you judge that, though?
What do you mean?
But how do you judge if you're, like, if say you're sweaty palms, like you're nervous.
Then I'm not going in for the shake.
Well, okay, so you feel them.
Hand awareness. This is what I'm asking for. You know your platform, Muffler?
Yeah.
Loud
Muffler.
One of my platforms is body odor awareness and hand sanitary awareness. We need to know our bodies better.
Okay.
And so overall body hygiene, really.
Well, and just the awareness, like you should understand that you're putting other people in a very awkward situation when you have a gross hand, and you can't tell me that he is not aware that because that was not a normal.
I'm guessing he does not. He has no idea.
Well, that's not a normal hand. That thing has been some places. That left a film.
Well, why did you shake it? This is on you.
I didn't know. I assumed.
Yeah, but you can't.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, it's not that you analyze other people's hands. It's that you just don't shake them if you're worried about it.
So now you're saying that I have to size someone up and make a judgment on hands?
Just fist bump, dude. It's not hard.
The fist bump is not as good as the handshake.
I agree. I like a good handshake.
A handshake, there's a bond. It's a human connection.
Either
the fist bump is kind of the fist bump is basically me saying I think you're gross and I don't want to touch your hand.
There is an element of that. It's not that I think you're gross. It's that the problem is me. It's not you. It's me.
But really, what you're saying,
I have an issue. Let's just fist bump. I don't want to shake your gross hand.
But what you're really saying is, I think you're disgusting.
I think otherwise I would shake
your hand.
All people are, yes. Mm. Yeah.
I just think we need. Well, we need to start a new. If we're going to try to get, we have someone wants to get. Back
I don't
to
think you're getting elected on that.
We're trying to get back to normal, right? We're saying we want to get back to normal, and normal is handshaking. And if that's the case, I need people to have better hand awareness of where your hands have been. Whether or not you're extending them. I think there is a social responsibility when you extend your hand to have hand awareness.
Is there a guy behind it? Do you agree with this, sir? That's a no. That's a no.
He's on board.
He's not.
He's on board. See, he'll shake a hand.
I put him on the spot.
He'll shake a hand.
He said yes, but I can see it in your eyes. He doesn't agree. Oh. He says if everybody's dirty, then you're dirty, too? That's your...
No, I'm clean. I don't think it's that hard to keep your hands clean. That's the other one, too. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to have clean
hands. Okay, he's going down the road of, hey, we're all gross, just shake hands. What's the worst that can happen? Well,
I'll tell you what. Go seek out that hand that I shook, and you'll think differently.
Alternative for you, Sook. Deal on the text line suggesting a bro hug and a kiss on the cheek.
Boy.
Would you rather kiss that guy on the cheek than shake his hand?
Yes.
Really?
I think I would.
That's gross.
I think I would. I think I would. I think I'll take my chances. I think his cheek has been fewer places than that hand. I don't know.
I was looking for him.
I don't know where that hand's been, but I can't believe that his cheek has been any place worse than where that hand was.
He was a big fan of you until now.
His hand smelled like old meatloaf. It was like, what is... And then I sat there the entire time, and like I had to keep my hand, like I was trying to distance. My hand was trying to distance itself from the rest of me. It understood that it just needed to be away.
Well, I do think we've come a long way in terms of our sanitation in this department over the last handful of years, 3 years. And that's a good thing. I think we have. I know I have. I hope you have too, McGinley.
This guy says, I think I'm getting more ignorant by the minute listening to this conversation.
Yeah, that's coming from you. All right.
Well, look, I didn't mean to derail us there, but that's I thought it was an important subject that needed to be broached. Someone needed the guts to come out there and tell you people with gross hands, knock it off.
Ooh, theory from the text line. Is it possible he'd been holding a drink for a long time? Right before the handshake.
That wasn't a drink hand.
He had his phone. He didn't have a drink.
That was not a drink hand.
He had a phone. He was taking pictures.
Look, I've been in plenty of bars. I'm aware of drink phones.
Imagine
drink hands.
Imagine how gross his phone is.
No, I don't want to.
You shook his hand right after he had his phone.
I don't want to. Now I'm going to go.
Think of what you have on your hand now.
No, I washed my hands like 3 times. That was one of those wash, rewash, and then hand sanitized. I've been washed twice and hand sanitized. These hands right now, spotless.
Yeah. How much? Yeah, that's a good question. Ludwig, sales guy Kurt Ludwig, finally contributing to the show. How much would it cost you? Or how much would it cost for you to lick his fingers?
That R8 right there.
200K?
Even then, I don't know if I could go through with it. I'm telling you, they had been bad places.
All right. I don't know what's next. But I can tell you this. It ain't going to be that.
I'm going to go shake this bartender's hand. A nice, clean hand. Look at that. She's ready.
Yeah, she's like him. They're willing to. Some people just don't care. Yeah, fine. Look, I'll be fine.
You got to put it out there sometimes. You got to roll the dice. And you know what? Sometimes you get snake-eyed. It happened. Yeah. It crapped out.
All right. The time now, 6:31. Here's Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue.
I'm gonna kick some butt in the traffic jam on the roads. I'm gonna kick some ass with the lies. I'm gonna kick a little ass. Rock, flag, and eagle.
On 1080, The Fan.
Double sun power!
All right, I'm getting down to my probing questions. It is 6:35. We're out here at the Portland International Auto Show.
Did you just ask McGinley what's the worst drug you've ever done?
Yes, I did.
Well, define worst.
Well, I mean, need to define. That's the beauty of an open-ended question like that, yeah. Is that whatever comes back to me,
there's children
is
here.
An interesting. Oh, wait, there's a children or child at the bar.
There's a child at the bar,
sir.
There is a children at the bar.
There is a children at the bar.
Young man, you're far. You need to get away from there.
You have a good
there.
Father, young man.
Am I wrong in thinking little kids at bars is hilarious?
Oh, it's great. Bellied up.
Starting early.
Look, is it really that big? I mean,
I will say that when.
Is it that big of a deal?
Well, you've been around Europe a little bit, right?
Yeah.
It's a little alarming when you walk into a pub.
Well.
And there's yeah. And there's like a 13
it's
or a,
not
4,
a big deal.
Is a 13 or 14 year old in there. And occasionally you walk into one. And someone will be bellied up, and they're not drinking, but they'll be like a toddler that he brought to the pub with him. And I always like that took a little that
when
took
we
a little
to,
getting used to for me.
England or what's he? Where? Oh, we were in Edinburgh. We were in Scotland.
Yeah.
And my kid was 15, and it was so exciting
for him.
We went to dinner, and he ordered a beer.
Yeah.
And of course it. He hated it.
Oh no, I'm saying, but he loved the idea.
But the idea that it's like, yeah. Oh, they're gonna serve me a beer, and not even care. But he was like, oh, this beer's I don't know. I'm with you. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Look at the kid got a beer himself, walking around with an IPA.
His dad's claiming it's a caffeinated drink. Sure it is. Oh. Sure it is, Dad.
But yeah, it's not that big of a deal because think about it. The kids see you at home drinking, you know. Anyway,
sure.
Right. If they see you drinking all the time, what's the difference between them? You know, I don't know if they should be like sitting at the bar, but you know, is that big of a problem?
I don't know. I mean, I
come on.
You'd have to see
what are we doing?
You'd have to see what the issue
must protect the kids from booze. What?
I don't know if in Europe, I don't know what the stats are or whatever, but it is a very common thing in Europe. The one that I always thought was interesting here is that. At 18 years old, you can sign up and we'll give you money and a gun and yeah. Say, go fight a war.
Right.
But while you're fighting a war, you're not allowed to have a beer.
Yeah.
That's the one that I always found the most interesting thing.
Do you think that so in the U.S., let's just talk about the U.S.
Yeah.
Between the ages, because I, you know, you've been through this with your kids, at least two of your kids, and
yeah.
Your third one is right in the middle, right? She's 17?
Almost 18.
Yeah. So I think... I know what I noticed with my kid, who is now 23, between the ages of 18 and 21,
yeah,
that's an agonizing time.
Sure, because you're not an adult, you're not a kid,
and you're hiding it.
Yeah,
and it's like you. I mean, they have drinks. Most
sure.
People have drinks before they're 21.
Yeah,
and they hide it, and they have to go through the rigmarole. Which some people would say is a rite of passage. I would say, do you think that if young people were acclimated and got that out of their system earlier, mm-hmm. in between the ages of 18 and 21, didn't have to wait till 21, which many of them don't anyway, but if, let's just say the legal age were 18, would we be a better society? Would we be better off if young people, if we just said drink at 18 and young people would just get it out of their system or learn about it having to wait.
I think we'd be a lot better off, and I'd say this way about a lot of things, if the stigma around it changed. Like, most of the kids that get in trouble with drinking, you usually don't like drinking.
By the way, I'm drinking.
You're drinking. Most of the time, I would assume that if you're 15 or 16 or 17 and you're drinking, you're not enjoying what you're doing.
Right. You're just doing it because...
It's a rebellious sort of thing.
Everybody else is doing it.
And everyone's doing it. I think if you took the stigma... away from that, it's the idea of like if you let your kid try something and he's like, this is terrible, yeah, don't do it, it's awful. I think if it took the stigma of you're being rebellious with it, I think that would go along
well. That's Europe.
I think yes.
I mean Europe, that's what I'm saying.
Like, yes,
in Europe in a lot of places in Europe, they indoctrinate them at such a, like, they, it's just not,
it's
a
not
big
a thing.
They don't binge like we do because they're just, oh, wine, I'll have a glass.
Yes.
And they don't have to have 15.
Yes, it is one of those. And sure, you will get the kid that overindulges, just like you'll get the person that's 21 that overindulges.
Of course.
But yes, I think we'd be a lot better off with drugs, sex, booze, anything, gambling. If you lost the stigma behind it, and it was taught to be more of a responsible thing, and hey, these are options for you. These are the downfalls
but
of it.
But here's the problem. Yeah.
Well, it's like...
Now that I'd vote for you.
Yes. See, I'm a big...
Now I vote for you.
Well, we do this with so many things, like with like the idea of, like, if we teach our kids sex education, it's going to make the kid interested in sex. Have you been 14 years old? You don't need sex education to be interested in sex. When I was 14, there was nothing in the... You could take the unsexiest thing in the world, whatever you could think of, and guess what? I would turn it into something sexual. So this idea that, like, if we don't talk about it and we don't teach it, somehow you're not going to be interested. That's the most ridiculous thing. And
that
it's
is.
Like, it's like drugs, too. Like, we can all admit that there's a lot of downside to drugs. Drugs are bad. But at the same time, there's a lot about drugs that are really good, which is why people take them. You have a really fun time on them. But we tell kids
not to mention the medicinal.
Yeah.
Like now they're, you know, there's a lot of.
But we, like if you sit there and you tell a kid that if you do drugs, it's the worst thing in the world, whatever, this is terrible. And the first time he does drugs, he does ecstasy or something. He's like, oh my God, this is the funnest time I've ever had in my entire life. Then everything that you tell him after that becomes irrelevant. You're lying to him. As opposed to saying to someone, hey, look, doing this can be a lot of fun, and you're going to have a good time, but there's some reasons why.
As four young boys walk by.
You're like, there's a reason.
You guys might want to listen to this.
But right?
As they sprint away.
But you're like, what's wrong with telling a kid, yeah, there's a lot that's fun about this, but this is also why you need to be really careful with this, because while you have a good time doing this, there's downside
of
XYZ.
See, now you're being too reasonable.
Yeah.
You're just simply reasonable, and that's that. We can't have this.
I have tried to take a very reasonable approach with my children, and when my kids reach a certain age, most people have the traditional like birds and bees talk. I think the talk I've had with each one of my children, I think some people would applaud it, and other people would be terrified by the conversation I had. But I had a very honest and forthcoming talk with each one of my children about all of those things when they reached about 17 years old.
Do you have any awesome young drinking stories? Because I do. I went to a party in high school. I don't know how old I was. Maybe a sophomore?
Yeah.
Not 21. And I had a bottle of Jose Cuervo.
Okay. To yourself?
Well... Yeah.
Oh. This isn't going to end well.
And I was walking around the party with a bottle of Jose Cuervo.
Yeah.
Feeling no pain.
No. No, you're feeling high. You're feeling good.
Talking to people. See, my point with this story is this: you just learn. Everybody learns at their own pace and their own time, and you will eventually learn because and a lot of it is just trial and error.
Yeah.
That's what it was for me. So I have this bottle of Jose Cuervo, and I'm walking around this high school party. Just having a great time, asking people, you want to do a shot with me? And everybody's like, no, dude, what? No. Everybody.
It's terrible.
And I'm like, these people are lame. I woke up on the, mind you, this is Kansas.
Yeah.
Freezing cold winter. I woke up face down on that person, at the house we were at.
Yeah.
On their cement porch.
Oh my! Outside
at 7 in the morning.
Oh my! You're lucky that you didn't like lose a finger from frostbite.
I am. Yes. Yes. I'm also lucky that the parents didn't come home. I don't even remember what my parents. I don't. Maybe I told them I was sleeping somewhere else. I don't remember. But to this day, I can't touch tequila.
Yeah.
I cannot touch. And I know there's a lot of really good tequilas.
Sure, but it's. But
you
learned a lesson that day.
Yes. And I just remember everybody looking at me like, dude, you're an idiot. And I didn't know that. I'm like, you're the idiot.
You're like, oh, I'm great. I'm the greatest.
This
guy
is great.
A similar thing happened to my brother. He doesn't drink hard alcohol anymore.
What was the booze?
He was home from college at a bar where he used to work, and he was underage, but the people there knew him, and so they were totally cool giving him whatever he wanted, and no one kept track of what he had. And he tried to walk about a quarter mile home from that bar and got lost and just so he had a lot of everything, but he passed out like on a sidewalk like two blocks from our house and didn't show up at our house till like 7 the next morning, and he was supposed to go back to college the next day, and my parents said that's not happening.
Oh.
So we had some talks that weekend, and he went back the next week.
Oh, okay. See, would your parents keep you, like, my parents would be, if I showed up at 7 the next morning?
Yeah.
I don't think they'd.
Well, it depends. But
they'd be like, yeah, get your ass back to college.
Yeah.
Idiot.
The parents that I was raised with, my mom and my stepdad, they would have been fine. Yeah.
Not your father.
My real dad, yeah. he would have been. Yeah. My first, this is mine, and to this
everybody
day.
Everybody has one.
Everyone has one, was with my older brother, the great John Sukanik.
Oh.
I was probably.
Non-drinker.
Non-drinker. I was probably 13 or 14, uh-oh. And he came home from Washington State, and this to this day, it's my sister, who's 3 years older than me, so she's 47. She claims that she's never drank in her entire life. This is wrong. My brother came home with a bottle of Midori and made Midori sours. That was
gross.
The first time. I think that was the first time I ever drank was a Midori sour. And we told my sister, "Hey, you should try this. It's great." We told her it was some sort of juice. And my sister had like three of them. Got tipsy, mm-hmm. And she claims that she had no idea that it was an alcoholic drink.
Okay.
And we got my sister schnookered on Midori sours.
Okay.
And to this day, she claims that she's never drank. And we're like, "BS, you drank
you did.
That." And she says that it doesn't count because she didn't know what she was drinking.
But she got housed.
She got housed.
So wait, what's a Midori sour?
It's Midori. It's sweet and sour.
And that's it, isn't it?
Like,
is that what it is?
I think Sprite.
Midori sweet and sour.
Oh, yeah, there's like some.
Gross.
It's sweet on sweet with a little bubble.
It tastes like green slushy. That was my first. I think that was probably the first time I ever.
So she really believed that it wasn't.
Yeah, she thought it was like.
But her head spinning didn't give it up.
Like, well, that was the thing. She's like, "What's going on?" And we're like, "Bah."
Wow.
And to this day,
that's such a Mormon story.
My sister will tell anyone that she's never drank in her life. And we're like, whatever.
Midori sour.
Midori sours.
What's yours?
I was like 13.
Let's go to Crazy Eyes. First big drinkings. Will you tell it next?
Well, I think we have to break.
Well, I know, but will you tell it? I want to hear Crazy Eyes' first big underage. Well, under. Yeah, like the, you know, the indoctrination type of story. We all have them. Okay. All right. Crazy Eyes is going to come in here and give us a story. This ought to be good. Probably involves heroin. John wraps it up next on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Everybody knew you didn't give no rip right. To Big John.
Hello.
Are we back?
Sports.
Yeah, Buck keeps doing this thing back at the board that I'm on. I don't.
He's blaming Buck.
Yeah. I'm blaming Buck.
It's really a Crazy Eyes issue.
It's Buck's not fault. A Crazy Eyes.
Okay, John, are you there?
Hello? Are we there?
Hello. Yes. Can you hear us?
I can, live from the auto show.
Yes.
Can you confirm the story about the time that you got our sister drunk on Midori Sours?
Yeah, I cannot deny that that happened. So,
and she to this day claims that she's never drank.
Can I, before we get to Crazy Eyes, can I ask a question? Why did you bring, so of all the bottles that of booze that you could bring to Jason and I don't even know Stacy's name or Stacy, why did you bring Midori?
So here's the story, right? All the drinking that I ever did in my career happened between 1991 and 1996.
And, oh, 5 years longer than I thought.
Well, Pullman, Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And at one point, like, I didn't grow up drinking. I was new to drinking. Like, I didn't know. At one point, somehow, a series of events unfolded where I was given a Midori sour. And it was really good. It tasted good. And so when my brother and I concocted this plan to be stupid with our sister, like, my sister's not going to crack open a Michelob.
No. Like, that is true.
That's not going to happen. But if you're like, hey, this tastes like a melted green snow cone, you know, she'd be like, all right. Hey, it does. Woohoo, that's tasty. So there was method to the madness.
It did work.
And the best I can recall, that was the thinking behind it, is we thought it would be funny. And we knew that if we brought her a Coors Light, she wasn't going near that, but, you know.
You know, the only time anyone would ever say a Midori Sour tastes good is if they've never had ever any drop of any other booze ever.
Well, that was pretty close. That's pretty close to what happened. I was young into the drinking career, which didn't last long. And, And that's what happened, I think. Yeah, the best of my
You're a better man for it.
That's right.
Okay, so Crazy Eyes McGinley, our engineers here, we're telling first drinking stories, or I don't even know how to characterize this, but...
And by the way, one of these days we have more. I want to hear John's first one as well.
Yeah. Well, maybe we have time. We got a few minutes.
We're
telling our 18 to 21 before you're legal learning how to drink stories is maybe how I'd characterize it. And we've got crazy eyes here.
The correct question would be to ask me how much I remember from 20 to 25. I mean, because that's a pretty much a blackout period.
Okay, but what was the first?
Okay, so it's not exactly as exciting as you're expecting.
Heroin.
I think it was about 14. A bunch of my friends and I rented a couple of hotel rooms at a role-playing conference hotel.
What?
Yeah.
Were you LARPing?
Game over.
Were you LARPing?
We were LARPing. I'm so friends with all these kids today.
Oh my God.
And somebody, one of the older guys, was able to get like four racks of beer. And I slammed like 12 or 14 trying to create the beer pyramid out of beer cans. And spent the next 18 hours dry heaving on the bathroom floor. Thankfully, we had two rooms and there was another bathroom available for other people to...
Where was this?
This is, it's right outside of D.C. on the Virginia side is where that was.
A role-playing, bravo.
Fantastic.
Yep. Bravo. Was that what you expected?
Well, the LARP part was great.
Yeah.
What was the beer? How much?
It was like Natty Light.
Natty Light.
It was something like that, or Keystone Light, or something. Yeah. You know, I mean, come on, it was 14, 13, 14.
But it's traumatizing because you're puking and you feel terrible.
It was just dry heaving for hours on that bathroom floor. Everything else was out. It was just that involuntary...
and now to John's
again.
Okay,
we have 2.5 minutes. Go.
There's nothing I can tell you that's better than that. That's like you don't want to be the quarterback that follows Elway. Like, there's nothing. I have nothing that's better than
that.
Well,
what is your first story
your first memory?
Learning about booze and drinking maybe too much.
The one little twist that you'll find interesting is Drew Bledsoe was there.
Oh, all right. Were you role playing with Drew Bledsoe?
No. I was a freshman at WSU, and our coach, our O-line coach, had been in the NFL for 15 years, and he instituted a similar system to what he played on, where we would get fined. Like, we had like a kangaroo court, and when we would watch film from the games or practice, if you did something stupid or screwed up or something, he'd fine you like 50 cents, 75 cents, a dollar. and then you had to pay it into a pot. And at the end of, and this is all new to me, I'm a freshman there, I don't have any idea what's going on. At the end of the year, you take the whole pot and you go, we went and had a big party with just the linemen, and we invited the quarterbacks because they're the quarterbacks, and we went to like a Chinese restaurant and we ate a bunch of food, and then everybody was drinking, and then it was this big party. And that's what they did every year, and that was the first time that I ever drank anything, was at this O-line party. And I'm with a bunch of linemen, I'm a squirrely 18-year-old freshman, has no idea what he's doing, and Drew Bledsoe is there. And a year later, he was the number one overall draft pick and played for the Patriots.
So did you get housed?
Well, I don't think.
That's
yeah.
a yes.
I don't. Yeah. I don't know that anybody. I don't know yeah. that anybody there was allowed not to be. You know what I mean? Okay.
Yeah. What was the drink? What was
everything?
Everything.
Yeah.
There was a bar. There was a bar at the Chinese restaurant. That's all you need to know. And it was over. It was like $1,800 was the bill, and
we didn't
have enough in the fine pot, so our O-line coach paid the rest of the tab, and
rest in peace, George Arno.
Yeah, the great George
Arno died.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Okay, we got to go. Yeah. Thank you. Love your hot body.
All right, go Cougs.
John doesn't like to talk about that five-year period.
I can tell.
Yeah, but this is why I was like, we need to get his.
All right, Crazy Eyes, thank you. You were great today.
LARPing in D.C. I love it.
Thanks to the Portland Auto Show for having us out. They're open until Sunday. Convention Center, come on down. We are back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on Fan Tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.